right. Thank you, Karen. Just so you know, we're going to start streaming our services live because it's a Facebook option now, so everything you do will be recorded and is accountable. So, and that's more scary for me because I have to go back and watch myself. God, that's terrible. Anyway, but it's a good thing to have. So if you would open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 1, we're going to be doing verses 1 through 4 of Philippians chapter 2. The chapter is much longer, but there's a very famous passage beginning in verse 5, and we're going to spend some time on one of the earliest Christian hymns next week. But for this week, I just want to set it up with verses 1 through 4 of Philippians. The Word of God says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." You know, I don't mind telling you that I'm a pretty humble person, you know, and matter of fact, the most humble person that I know. You could say I have a black belt in humility, right? I'm the whatever. Okay, well, I'm not all that humble. Not all that humble sometimes. But here, Paul's writing to them that if you're going to be unified, and you need to be unified, that you all have to be humble. You need to be humble. He starts off in verse 1 by saying, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, and you, some of your Bibles might have if, but that's not really a good translation. A better translation would be, so since there's any encouragement in Christ. You see, in Greek, you can make an if-then statement, accepting or expecting a positive answer, yes. You can ask somebody a question, and the way you phrase your question meant that you expected a yes answer or a no answer. You know, I wish that was true in English, because that would really help out my marriage sometimes. Like, what do you want me to respond? What do you want me to say? But he's saying, so since there is any encouragement in Christ, since there is an incentive of love, and since there is participation in the Spirit, complete my joy by being of the same mind. You know, what does it mean to be encouraged? Or what does this word encouragement mean here? Well, it means exhortation. It's encouragement that is in Christ, and it's encouragement that comes from Jesus. You see, if you're a Christian and if you know Jesus, you should be able to encourage those around you to keep on following Christ. And I don't know about you, but I need that encouragement from time to time. You know, if you don't have, I think that you should have. I have people that I go to that I've been friends with for years. And if I have an issue, if I hit a wall in my walk, if I don't feel like I am feeling the presence of God, and if I don't feel like I'm giving God my very best, I've got people that I can call up, and they'll spur me on. You know, they encourage me to move forward. But there's an encouragement that comes for Christ. It's a fact. Since there is an exhortation. He goes on to say, if there is any incentive of love, if there is love, and he might be talking here about his love for them, like he's talked about earlier, or Christ's love for the church, but because there is love, we should be of one mind. You know, the Bible says that as Christians, we're supposed to have a kind of love that the world doesn't have. And the Bible says, as Christians, the first thing people are supposed to know about us is the way that we love each other, the way that we tend to and take care of each other. So since there's encouragement and since there's love, and then he goes on to talk about participation in the Spirit or fellowship, that we have fellowship with each other because it's given by the Spirit. You know, and because our fellowship is given by the Spirit, it should be unified. We should all be together. You know, a lot of times I've been through a church split, you know, and what a terrible testimony to people about Jesus Christ. You know, because if we all confess to know the same God, if we all confess to have the same Holy Spirit speaking to us, then we should have a bond, a fellowship, a togetherness of purpose. We should not only have a fellowship, but we should also have tenderness and compassion or affectionate sympathy for each other. You know, I should care about what you're going through. And you should care about what I'm going through. We shouldn't just know each other via social media or shaking hands at church, but we should really know what's going on in each other's lives. You know, what's happening this week? What's happening today? Because of all these things, because the Holy Spirit in Christ has given us encouragement, love, fellowship, affectionate sympathy for each other, we should be united in our mind. And that's the first point I want to make today that Paul's make, that we should be of the same mind. Be of the same mind. You know, a church is only going to be effective, just like any team, sports team, athlete, whatever, you're only going to be effective if you have the same goal. You know, if somebody on your team thinks it's a running play and you think it's a passing play, you're going to have problems. You know, if you're in marching band and you think you're supposed to march from the 20 to the 30, but somebody else in your band thinks they're supposed to be going from the 30 to the 20, you're going to mess up your formation and you're going to have problems. And in churches, we should have the same mind. You know, there's been times in history where a miscommunication or not being on the same page has had terrible results. In 1754, George Washington was a young British soldier, and he was instructed to go to a French fort near Pittsburgh. And he was instructed to go there to sit down and talk with the French. Well, on his way there, there was a miscommunication, and somehow or another, his troops fired on the French, and they ended up killing a French general. Well, the general's brother was the second in command, and so he immediately came out of the fort and approached George Washington to sign a treaty and sign a statement of what had occurred. And so George Washington, feeling terrible about having ambushed and shot this general, signed this treaty, but here's what he did. He pretended like he could read French. So this treaty was written in French by a French general, and George Washington stood there in front of his troop, acted like he could read it. And then he signed his name. What he didn't know, because he couldn't read French, is that in that treaty was an apology to the French for the assassination of their general. Not just for an accidental killing, but for the assassination. And because George Washington wasn't on the same page as this French officer, the Seven Years' War, a global war between France and Britain began because of one miscommunication, because they weren't on the same page, because they didn't have the same mind. And you and I, we need to have the same mind. And what is that mind? In verse 5, it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." That you and I, as a church, if we're going to be partners in the gospel, if we're going to work together for Christ, that we have to have the same goal in mind that Jesus had. And what was Jesus' goal? To reach people, to save people, to serve people. He was all about other people. You know, if we're going to be a church that's about other people, we need to be united in our humility. United in our humility. Verse 3, I really want you to read this because it's so opposite of what we hear every day. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit. Another way to translate that is, don't focus on empty glory. Don't do anything out of selfishness. Don't do anything focused on empty glory. But be humble and consider other people to be better than you. I want to ask you a question. This is a good litmus test for Christians. Is there anybody else in this world that you think that you're better than? Is there anybody else in this world that you talk down about just a little bit? You know, is there anybody else in this world where you're like, I've got it together, but they don't have it together so much. I'm more talented than they are. I'm better looking than they are. I'm a better singer than they are. I behave better than they do. I live better than they do. That's not humility. You know, the reason we're selfish and the reason that we look down on other people is because we're thinking about things that aren't important. Thinking about things that are not important. Man, you know, several years ago when Jessica and I were married, I guess it was 2008, was it 2008 or 2009, where Tiger Woods got found out. Up until that point, Tiger Woods had a squeaky clean image. Up until that point in his life, he was the number one golfer in the world, but guess what? He got found out. And guess what? He became not number one anymore. You see, no matter how good you are at something, guess what? You're going to get old and somebody's going to grow up that's going to be better at it than you are. You know, no matter how prettier you think than somebody you are than somebody else, guess what? You're going to get old and somebody's going to be prettier than you. And so you might as well be humble now. And you know, we like to try to hide what's going on with our lives with vain or purposeless or empty things. You know, 2 days ago, MIT announced that they had developed a new skin that you could spray on your body. This is a true thing. It's a polymer that you rub some adhesive right here, you spray some spray, and this new skin will go on your body and it'll instantly make you look 10 years younger. Instantly. Now, if you're 16, don't do that because that would be creepy. All right? But you'll instantly look 10 years younger. Here's the problem. If you look like you're 60, guess what? You're still 70. You're just trying to paint over it. If you look like you're 40, guess what? You're still 50. You're just trying to paint over it. And eventually, you're going to lose. You know, in our lives, we idolize the wrong things. And today, we're going to go to a Texas Rangers game. And I can remember, and there's nothing wrong with being entertained by sports, but I can remember going to a World Series game whenever the Rangers made the World Series for the first time. Don't even remember who they played. I guess maybe the Giants, San Francisco Giants. I don't know. It's just not important anymore. Isn't that crazy? But I went to the only World Series game that was at Ranger Stadium that they won that year. And I remember leaving that stadium thinking, is this as good as it gets? Like, I went to a World Series game and the Rangers won, but is this really all that the world has to offer in terms of entertainment? Because it wasn't all that wonderful. It wasn't all that good. When it was done, it was done. And my life still went on. You know, we idolize people who aren't humble. And you can tell that. We have this word in our culture called celebrity. And celebrities, a lot of times, are people that we make a whole lot out of. Why? I mean, actors and actresses, let's think about it. What really are they good at? Lying. They're really great at pretending like they're somebody they're not. And so we put them on a pedestal and we pay them millions of dollars because they're really good at pretending like they're somebody that they're not. What's the point of all that? Maybe it's because we wish we were somebody that we weren't. And so we put them up on a pedestal as somebody that we can somehow look up to. This week I watched a TV show about the top Super Bowl performances of all time, halftime performances, halftime shows, and the list of celebrities was pretty impressive, you know. Bruce Springsteen, I don't really know who that is. I don't care. I heard him sing a little bit, and I was like, you're not that good to me, so I'm moving on, okay? Michael Jackson was up there, okay, and he was kind of a weird dude, but he could perform, you know. Beyonce was up there shaking her groove thing because she's all about empowering women, apparently. And then Prince, you know, he was up there, and man, why were people, I was watching this, I was thinking, people were losing their minds just to be able to touch Bruce Springsteen. He's a dude. I mean, he can sing a little bit, but he's just a dude. Touching him is not going to change your life. It's just going to make him some more money. But why do we do that? Because the truth is that we don't value humility. We don't value humility. You know, somebody that I look up to, even though they're a Catholic, and I think some Catholics are Christians. I don't know that all of them are, but just like I don't know all of you are Christians, okay? Just because you're here at church today doesn't mean you're saved. But one of the people that I look up to was Mother Teresa. And Mother Teresa was a Catholic nun who lived a very simple life. You know who she reached out and touched? People covered with diseases. You know who she reached out and touched? People that she wrote in her memoirs that she touched people sometimes where she almost wanted to vomit. But she was ministering to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know what she left when she died? A room with a table and a nightstand and the clothes on her back. But everybody in the world knew Mother Teresa. It was a life of humility. You know, as Christians, we're supposed to make a name for Christ and not for ourselves. Make a name for Jesus and not for you. And you see, it was only Jesus Christ that made humility to be a virtue at all. Nobody else before the time of Christ had ever considered humility to be something positive. And look, if you've ever go out and read some books, read some modern leadership books or modern How to Survive in the Business World books, and you know what it's all about? It's all about here's how you get ahead. It's all about here's how you stab somebody in the back. It's all about how do you get to be boss? You know, you getting more and more. You know, and someday you're going to die, and guess what? Nobody's going to care that you were their boss. You can go out to any funeral ground around here, and you'll see names of people that you don't know, and it didn't matter to you that they were alive. Be humble. We need to be united in our humility. You know, we also need to be united in ministry. Ministry to others. In verse 4, it says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And this word interest can also be translated as in a sort of different way as what other people are doing. Don't only look to how you're serving Christ, but look to how other people are serving Christ. And be thankful. Be thankful that there is nobody else in this room like you. And I'm not saying that so that you can make yourself feel special, but so that you can understand how special everybody else in this room is. You know, we tell people that there's nobody in the world like you to make them feel like, oh, well, I must be great. No, enjoy the other people because they're not like you. And what he's talking about here is that God has given us love, encouragement, humility, the Holy Spirit of God, and called us all together. And if we're going to be of one mind, of one purpose, it's that to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, if you're a Christian, God has given you something unique that only you can contribute to our church family. God's given you something unique that only you can contribute to the kingdom. You know, maybe you're a good dancer. Maybe you're a good musician. Maybe you're a builder. Maybe you're an electrician. Maybe you're a poet. Maybe you're a songwriter. Maybe you're an artist. Maybe you're a great analytical thinker. Maybe you're good at math. Maybe you're great at serving behind the scenes. But whatever it is, God has given you something to do. And I want to tell you something this morning. In this room are more than enough people for God to use to reach an entire community of Itasca for him. Let me preach that. In this room are more than enough people for God to use to reach the entire community of Itasca for him. The question is, do you want to? The question is, are we united? The question is, are you putting your skin into the game? You know, I want to read to you real quick the top countries in the world that have the most Christians in them. Top percentage of Christians. Number one is the United States. Number two is Brazil. Number three is Mexico. Then there's Russia, the Philippines, Nigeria, the Congo, China, Ethiopia, and Italy. Those are the top 10 countries in the world with the most Christians in them. Now I want to read to you the top 10 countries where Christians are reaching the most Christians, where they're multiplying the fastest. Number one, Nepal. Number two, China. China is the only country that's on the other list and this list. Number three, Saudi Arabia. In all these countries in the next 10 years, the number of Christians in these countries will double. Not due to birth rates, but due to people witnessing for their faith. Number five, Qatar. All these are Middle Eastern countries, by the way. Number six, Oman. Number seven, Yemen. Then you go back to Asia, Mongolia. Then you go to Africa, Cambodia. Then you go back to the Middle East for Bahrain. Think about that. The United States, where you live, there are the most Christians here than any other place in the world, but we're not even in the top 10 when it comes to spreading our faith. Let me clue you in on something. We're not even in the top 50 when it comes to spreading our faith. Why? Because we're not united. We've lost our focus. We're not united in ministry. We're not united in being humble. We're not united in caring for other people and reaching out to others. So what are we going to do about it? That's the question I want to ask you, like I have to ask myself. What are you going to do about it? And so here's what I want to give you. I want to give you a couple of practical things that you can do this week to increase your humility and to start being more like Jesus. Number one, give something away. Give something away. I want to challenge you this week to think about all the stuff that's in your room, that's in your closet, that's in your garage, that you hadn't seen in a year because you don't need it or you don't wear it. You hadn't even seen it in 2 years. And I want you to think about, what do you own that we as a church family this week could make an impact in our community by giving it away? And when you give it away, tell somebody, I'm not just giving you this to be a nice person. Don't be giving away your trash. All right? Don't be giving away your CDs if you still own those. Okay? I mean, give away something. All right? I don't want your hand-me-downs. No, don't give it to me. All right? But give something away. And when you give it away, you tell that person that you're doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. You want to give them a gift in the name of Jesus. And I want you to see what kind of impact that will make. That's my challenge to you. Go through your closets, go through your stuff, and think about something you can actually give away. Let's put some skin in the game, all right? And we'll come back next Sunday, and we'll talk about what did we give away. Number two, this week, when you're making a decision with somebody else, don't have your way. Don't have your way. You know, I don't care if it's going to a restaurant. You know, my dad said if he opened up a restaurant, he would name it I Don't Care or I Don't Know. Because whenever people ask, where are we going to go eat? People are like, I don't care, I don't know. Let's go there, all right? That'd be a great name for a restaurant. Okay, but here's the deal. You think about making a decision in your family and you know that you could have your say, but you choose not to have your way. At school, consciously think about at school when you can choose not to have your way. Think about in your home. This is the toughest one. Think about in your home. Look for an opportunity. It's so backwards, isn't it? That's the way Jesus is, though. He is backwards. All right? Look for an opportunity in your home this week to not have your way. To let somebody else have their way. And you serve them. I don't care if it's not watching the ball game and letting your wife watch whatever stuff she's DVR'd. She can watch 2 hours of it. All right? Those dumb rom-coms, oh my gosh, like impale my eye with an eyeball with a spoon. That's like terrible, okay? I don't want to watch my wife's shows, but even if it's something as simple as that, you could watch the ball game if you wanted to, but your wife wants to watch some girly show. So say, hey, babe, why don't you come here and watch your girly shows? Why? Just because I want you to have your way. I don't know if that's the way it is at your house, the way it is at my house. But those two things, I promise if you start doing those things in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll begin to be humble. We'll begin to look more like Jesus. And next week, we'll stay this next week, but why should we be humble? It's pretty easy. Because Jesus gave up everything for you. And for me. Let me say that again, because we hear that all the time. Jesus gave up everything for you. And we can't give up $10 or a pack of steaks in the freezer, or some old piece of furniture we don't use anymore. All right? So that's my deal. Next week, we're going to come here, and we're going to talk about what did we give away. Some of y'all better have some, you know, if not, then we're going to do what they used to do in Puritan churches, which is they had a guy with a scepter, and he'd walk around and just smack people who weren't paying attention, all right? So next week, what we're going to do, we're not really going to do that, because you get sued nowadays, oh my gosh, and I'd get smacked too. So, but next week, we're going to come to church, and we're going to share those things. Let me just encourage you once again to be humble. Be united with one mind that we're here to serve Jesus. To be united that we're going to think about everybody else in this room as being better than yourself because you're not that great. If you think you are, that's your problem, all right? Because you are a sinner just like me, so get over it, all right? And then we need to be united in ministry, taking care of other people. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your example, that you came and gave up everything to live as a man without anything so that you could die for us. And God, we just need to confess as people that live in a society where it might be getting a little bit tougher, but Christianity is still easy, that people don't know you, it is our fault. It's our fault if we haven't tried. God, I just pray that you would show me what you would have me to give away this week, that it would be meaningful. God, show me how I can give up what I want in my household for you, that it would be meaningful. So I can be more like you, Jesus. In my prayer, amen. This time, if you would, please stand, and we're going to have a time of invitation. If you'd like prayer, I'd be more than happy to pray for you. But just to spend this time talking to God, asking him to make you more humble. Let's pray.